Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bleeding Metal Podcast. My name is Pia, my pronouns are she, her, and I am here with...
Hello everyone, I'm Kiki, my pronouns are she, her, and I am your other co-host of the Bleeding Metal Podcast. Welcome in.
Today we want to talk about a topic that is part of thousands of songs in heavy metal, but I had the idea because of an incident that happened at a We Came As Romans show. We want to talk about violence, and not only violence in the lyrics, but also violence that metal fans might face in their lives at concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's talk about the whole incident of October 22nd during the We Came As Romans tour in 2023. By the way, we have another time warp situation here because we are recording on Tuesday, November 14th. You will be listening to this in the future.
Greetings from the past.
Hi, this is Pia and Kiki from the past, and we are analyzing what happened in our past already. Just as a disclaimer, we don't do news. Don't come at us. Don't come to us for the news. Come to us for the analysis and philosophical discussions of everything that happens around the metal scene. So there was a very violent incident at one of the We Came As Romans shows on October 22nd, 2023. That's what sparked the conversation that we are about to have.
Maybe I just read out the statement that We Came As Romans posted on their Instagram channel. They said, our show in Providence last night had to be cancelled during Body Snatcher's set. Multiple attendees were wrongfully and aggressively dragged out of the venue. Some of our touring crew went outside to de-escalate the situation with security, as we had approved moshing and crowd surfing with the venue and security teams earlier that day. The security team did not respond well, and the situation escalated further, even to the point of spitting in our crew's faces. Spitting on gear, threatening physical violence, and someone having to be physically restrained. Out of an abundance of caution for the protection of all of the fans, our own touring party, all four bands and crew, and the venue staff, all parties agreed that the best move was to cancel the show. And they go on with apologizing and how you can get your money back.
Right. So that was a very summarized version of the events, but I do think that it is a very professional statement. It is not done in the heat of the moment. I think it's very thought through and objectively retelling what drove the decision. Apologetic to the fans that were affected by the semi-cancellation of the show and stating their reasons to make this decision. Mm-hmm. And that makes it almost too detached. I just watched two videos by Tank the Tech, who is a tour manager, a YouTuber, also a Twitch streamer. He discusses a lot of the music business and what happens behind the scenes. But in these two videos, Tank reads the same statement from We Came As Romans and also statements from the band's crew and from fans. And it seems like the degree of violence exerted by the security staff is not really coming through in that statement. Mm-hmm. Like, people speak of one of the concert goers being dragged out by the hair and neck, then his head being smashed onto the pavement several times. The security staff actually was not only being physically violent towards the concert goers, which had started with them lighting flashlights into people's eyes because they were moshing, and then making a lot of violent threats and asking them to, and this is the funniest thing, telling them to meet them outside to fight them.
Okay.
Oh my God, you're a fucking security guard. You're not supposed to want to fight the people. You are supposed to protect them from fighting each other. Yes. Or from being a threat to other people in the same venue where you're working. You're not supposed to make them, quote unquote, behave by threatening them with beating them up. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. If you have a job like this, also if you're a soldier or working at a police office or stuff like that, you should not work there if you hate people. That's not good.
Yeah, you should not work there if you want to exert violence. Mm-hmm. You want to avoid violence.
Yes.
Violence is the last fucking resort.
Yes, exactly.
The whole thing seems to have escalated really terribly. In a second, Video Tank goes on to analyze a statement from the venue, kind of defending their security stuff, saying that they have had many metal concerts in the past, that the people are trained to do that, and that it was only one person who had to be drugged out. And, well, it's just not really adding up. Maybe some of the other bands and crew members weren't the most professional either. They are really cool videos. I'm gonna link them in the description. Watch them if you want to know all of the details about the situation. The thing is just violence is indefensible. You cannot justify violence of that type.
Yes, and I also already thought that they did not just drag someone out and said, well, you're not allowed to get in. That happens. That happens at parties. That happens at concerts. And that's why there mm-hmm. is security there. That's their job.
Yeah.
So that's not a reason for the band to say, we cancel this show. It's quite clear that something more happened, what you were describing there.
And before we go onwards, I want to say something a little more general about concerts that I have seen a lot in recent years. I might have mentioned this before, but Matt Heafy from Trivium, for example, is very good at having an eye on the crowd mm-hmm. and stopping the show to make sure that people are okay. He can see if someone fell in the pit and is hurt, if someone is about to pass out of dehydration. I don't know. And the fans of Trivium have adopted, I guess, this behavior of telling him when something is going on. And honestly, that is heroic behavior, but I want to say that should not be the responsibility of the people on stage. The performers, the musicians on stage, their job, what they do best is that, perform, play music. And that is where a lot of their focus is going. That is what we as an audience want them to do best. Mm-hmm. So it really sucks that things in audiences, in venues, with security escalate to the point that bands actually have to
make their job.
Yeah, have to take on this extra task mm-hmm. of actually taking care of the fans, making sure nothing happens to them, because apparently we cannot take care of each other and security will not always have our best interest at heart. We will not always be their top priority because apparently some don't know how to handle mosh pits. Apparently some don't know how to handle crowd surfers and how to put them safely back on the ground. And that sucks because as lovely as it is, the artists on the stage should not be our babysitters.
Yes. What I think is a good thing that artists can do, the German band Heaven Shall Burn, their vocalist Markus Bischoff, he always tells the people to look after each other to make sure that nobody is really hurt in a mosh pit or something like that. That's something where I say, yeah, you have the microphone, everybody's listening to you. Of course you can do that. Bands say more stupid stuff on stage all the time.
And a lot of people do that. Yeah. Ask the moshers to take care of each other and stuff like that. But also, that is mosh pit culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
I've heard in other podcasts recently that apparently there's this generation, this post-COVID generation, who just came of age or are just old enough to start going to concerts now after a 2 or 3 year break. So they don't know the rules. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to act at concerts. And apparently they have to be taught.
But that's not new. That's what I experienced all my festival and concert life, that there are young people who are at their first festival, their first concert. And if you see a mosh pit from outside, it might look very violent and they go in there and start punching. And it doesn't take a lot of time until someone pulls them out and says, that's not what you do in here. You're having fun in here. You take care of other people. And if you want to be beaten up or beat someone up, this is not the place for you to be. And yeah, I joined several mosh pits in my life and I experienced so many cool moments where, for example, someone had the shoe was open and people were making a circle around that person that he was able to close his shoe again.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Or whenever I fell down, I just had to reach for a hand and somebody was pulling me up again. Yeah. So there was never something bad happening to me in a mosh pit. On the other hand, when I did crowd surfing, nothing bad ever happened to myself, but I saw security who treated the people very roughly and also said something to each other like, well, these stupid people, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to carry them? Just smash them down or something like that. Mm. I heard that from people who should be there to protect you, to help you have a good time. And We Came as Romans also said they had a conversation with the venue and they said there will be crowd surfing, there will be a mosh pit and everything. So they were prepared in theory. And I can understand that if you work as a security person, that you might not want to carry stage divers, crowd surfers or whatever, but then you should not work at a metal show. Then you should go to a pop concert or whatever. Maybe there are also crowd surfers, I don't know.
Or you don't take the job at the barricade. You go and search people's bags at the entrance. Or don't take the shift that night and, as you say, work another gig.
Yes.
Another concert. I want to blame capitalism again. Because a lot of people, as always. Yeah, sometimes you just have to do the job. You just need money. You have to work. But also the people they handle are in that position of I'm being treated badly by someone who doesn't want to be here in the first place, didn't want to do this job in the first place. And that is the reason, maybe understandable, but absolutely not justifiable, of why they are not taking care of me properly. And that is terrible.
And you do not expect that. When I think about security, police, firefighters, and people like that, my, as a white woman, first intention is that are people who are there to protect me from violence or from whatever, to save my life. That makes it even worse that there is kind of broken trust when security act like this.
Right. That is a very good point. That's an extra layer of all of the violence that we can be confronted by when something like this happens. Sometimes venues are also understaffed. That is why they have to take the security people that are available. Maybe not all of them are so well trained. That's something that Tank says in one of his videos as well. Most of the security people that he has worked with are really good, but everybody has a bad day. For something like that to happen, though, it must be like everybody's having the worst day ever.
Yes, and that cannot be an excuse for what happens.
Yeah. There.
I can imagine that it is also exhausting for them, because if you have to carry all these crowd surfers for 1 hour workout or however long the gig is. So maybe also the venue has to make sure there are enough people, there is enough stuff that they can rotate, and also that they know what's going to happen. The band told the venue, well, there are going to be a lot of stage divers and stuff like that. That should be made clear.
Yes, and that is a part of the preparation for every concert. So that apparently took place and still this couldn't be avoided. From one of Tank's videos as well, there was one post he also read aloud of a person who lives in that city and has been going to this venue for many, many years. They said the security staff in that venue is known for being very aggressive. So this has been happening for years. And this is the first band that actually takes action, that actually cares enough. And again, it's not your job to protect your fans. But if you have that power or if you're in that position, it is really important that they actually took a stand with all of the financial risks that a cancellation entails. You are canceling more than half of the show. One out of three bands actually performed, if I understand correctly. That means you need to give back at least half of the costs of the tickets. And still, with that financial loss and with all of the complications because of breach of contract and whatever technical and logistical and bureaucratic things that have to happen in order to actually cancel that show halfway, they still risked all of that because they saw the amount and the gravity of violence and aggression that the security staff was exerting was just unbearable. And they decided to take this step. The fact that they were the first ones to take action baffles me.
Yes, I think that was the right decision.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's shocking that nobody did that before, but maybe they just didn't notice because it's hard to see from the stage what happens there in the crowd.
There can be many reasons, but I hope that either the people in the city, the bookers, because the venue is defending their security staff. So might be very cancel culture of me or something.
No.
If you have an alternative in the same city or a nearby city to book your concerts where you know the security stuff is actually nice, maybe do that.
Yes.
You are putting your audience who pay the tickets.
Danger.
You're putting them in danger, and that is not cool.
I've been in situations where the security took me out of the crowd at venues where mosh pits are not usual. Mm-hmm. But I was there with a group of friends in my early 20s, and we did it anyways. And that was a funny situation.
Wow.
We had a funny situation in a really small club here in my hometown. It was a rock bar, and there was a very cool song coming up, and we just decided to start the mosh pit. And it didn't take 5 seconds. There were security guys who pulled us out, but gently pulled us out. I haven't seen them before. They were invisible before. They were just there out of a sudden and pulled us out of the crowd and said, "You're not allowed to do this here. And this is how you should do that." Gently pull people out of the crowd and tell them, "Nope."
And before that, be sneaky.
Yes, there are gentle ways to
stop a mosh pit, for sure, for sure.
At the Summer Breeze Festival, they have a special security crew. They also have their own merch that you can buy in front of the stage when you did stage diving.
Okay.
They are called Grabenschlampen in German, which would be...
Photo pit sluts,
yeah.
I guess.
And they do a very good job. They are always nice to people. And that's why they have their own merch.
That's awesome. I do think that it is a very important job to be a security person in the music industry. It is a very important job. It is a very difficult job. Of course, not all security guards are evil.
Most of them are nice.
Most of them are very lovely. I am just thinking of Rock am Ring this year. The heat was extreme during the day and there were so many dehydrated people. And I remember this one security guard who went out of his way to get water to a female presenting person who was lying on the floor. Mm. And they also need to be taken care of. So this is also an appeal to us fans. Be nice to security people. Thank them when they have safely put you back on the ground after crowd surfing. Being kind to each other is very important. It is on us to be nice to each other, to behave. If mosh pits are forbidden, well... they are. There must be a reason for it. This is the German in me speaking. If it's forbidden, it's for a reason. It's not just because they're party poopers, you know? Maybe you wait to your next mosh pit opportunity in your next concert. I don't know.
Yes.
And sometimes people just don't want to be part of your mosh pit, okay? Leave me alone. I remember being very annoyed by moshers at a Trivium concert, my first Trivium concert in London. And it was just, there were just like 5 tiny mosh pits. And it seemed like everywhere I tried to go, one would start. And I was like, oh my God, I just want to sing and jump.
Yeah, but most of the time you have a kind of wall around the mosh pit of people who are like, yeah, I gotta protect the others who don't want to be in here.
People who look at Kiki and go, she's tiny. I have to protect her from this mosh pit. Otherwise, she's gonna die. And I mean, I can do that myself. But yes, that is the kind of people I want around me at a concert as well.
But funny thing is, again, metal fans from the outside look very dangerous and unkind.
They look evil ourselves.
They look evil. Of course, it's always said they are the most friendly people, blah, blah, blah. But that's proof that metalheads are nice to each other. But when a force from the outside, in this case, security people come in, then they cause the violence.
That's the thing with generalizations, right? Just like not all guards are evil, not all metalheads are nice. We have this cliche of we look so bad and we're actually nice. But just the same, not everybody is nice, not everybody's evil.
10% of the people are assholes everywhere. That's my theory.
There are assholes everywhere. Beware of them for sure. But it's never everybody, and we can always be better. It's the point I make over and over again. Yes, metalheads are cool, but we can be better.
Mm-hmm. The story that I just told in public places, it might look differently from the outside. When you're not used to mosh pits, it might look very violent. I had another situation at a party in a village, Oktoberfest or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There we also wanted to start a mosh pit, but there were police crossing us by and they said, well, it looks like you're beating each other up, so please stop that. So that's what the impression could be if you do that in places that are not used to mosh pits. Be aware of that.
Yeah, be aware of people's reactions.
Yes.
And just like you were trying to start mosh pits where maybe they weren't expected.
That's my passion. There was there was a time where you had flash mobs everywhere and we were just doing mosh pits. No, that's not true.
That has to go on the cover of the episode. Pia's quote, that is my passion, to start mosh pits where I shouldn't.
And it's wrong. I didn't mean it. But it would be funny.
That's the rebellious spirit of rock and metal.
Yes.
And punk. So I can totally understand that. I'm obviously not here to be the party pooper and to actually tell people to behave, but I think we should assess every situation because there might be situations in which we can start mosh pits without having the people cancel the concert. That is the spirit that is also reflected in the lyrics, which is what we also wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
How there's a lot of violence sometimes in lyrics in metal. And how that can also cause that kind of misinterpretation or stereotyping of
yes.
metalheads as violent Satanists. I don't know.
I think that's also connected. Mosh pits are a very physical experience. And sometimes you just need that very exhausting workout or something. You do that to have fun, but you also feel yourself a lot in a mosh pit. You feel your body smashed against other bodies. That's also a kind of letting go of something, kind of catharsis. And that's what the lyrics are, at least for me. You can let go the aggression inside of you. I'm the most relaxed person if I listen to very aggressive metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, yeah, it calms me down because I can let go all of the bad thoughts, all of the aggression that is inside my brain, inside my body and everything. Also, in a mosh pit, you can just let go for the time of the concert. It's a very physical experience as well.
Do you have an example of violence in lyrics that you find very relaxing? Or that you like in general?
If they curse a lot.
Right.
I like that. Shouting out what the people think, or maybe also shouting out what I would like to say to other people. I don't really have a concrete example, but something like that.
For some reason, I thought about a song by Xandria called Death to the Holy, because it's also a form of violence to wish ill upon other people,
yeah.
Right? The song, it's actually about religion and how hypocritical it can be and the rebellion, trying to break those systems of oppression, mm-hmm. Death to the Holy. And that sentiment, I for sure can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would never wish death upon someone. I think that part of quote-unquote violent lyrics is actually appealing. I know what you mean. The aggression of the cursing, even if it's not directed at someone, or rather when it's not directed at someone specific, but it's directed at systems of oppression or groups of people who are doing something bad to others. Maybe that is the type of violence in lyrics that I can relate to, mm. that I like.
Or when you have the impression that you're facing injustice towards yourself by someone else. There are a lot of songs that also deal with this topic. Then you can really identify with that. Or
right.
also some lyrics that empower you in an aggressive way or more aggressively, like live, laugh, laugh or whatever. That's something I cannot relate to.
Yeah.
But if someone says to me, stand up and fight for your right, I can relate to that.
Exactly. Ooh, Burn from Fever 3. Mm-hmm. We gotta burn it down to build it up again. Yeah. I was listening to that when I went running this morning. That type of very hypothetical, metaphorical violence of burning down the systems and being able to start anew and be free, that's the best type.
Yeah, that's also the case for many emotions that you feel, and then you have a song and you can relate to the song because at least for you it describes what you feel and you
right,
feel
and you identify with or empathize with what's been said.
Yeah, and the funny thing is it's all interpretation. There is a song by Twisted Sister, I don't know which song it was, but the singer also had to go to the court because of that, because they thought the song was about cutting someone's throat up. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, the song is about the throat surgery of one of our band members.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes forever. Wow. That's a big ass confusion there.
But if you put it into poetry, then yeah, that might happen.
That's where it gets dangerous, yeah. I think, though.
Yes.
Because as any art form, lyrics are open to interpretation.
Sometimes not.
Sometimes not so much, but a lot of the bands and or songwriters that I follow, that we have interviewed, say they don't want to tell us what they actually meant.
Yes.
Because it is for us to see ourselves reflected into these lyrics. Mm-hmm. And see what part of those rings true, what we can connect to, etc. But in the end, both the person behind the art and the person receiving the art are humans, and we can be targets of violence or we can be the perpetrators of violence. And as we know, there is a lot of violence going around in the world, and I don't think it is more in metal than in other music subcultures, but that's where we have to be careful. I don't know. I'm thinking of the cases that we have talked about in the past. On our episode about separating the art from the artist, we talked about the As I Lay Dying member hiring an assassin to kill his wife. Mm-hmm. We have talked before about, and I hate that I'm going to say it by name, the Rammstein singer and his years and years of perpetrating sexual violence upon female fans of his, of theirs. We see that not only in music business, the Me Too movement actually came from the film industry. We start to see how both those worlds collide, right? Reality and the philosophical, metaphorical art world that is out there for us to connect with, but actually can come from reality. Another artist that comes to mind who is not at all a perpetrator, but a reteller of these stories is Skinned. I absolutely love the music, but I am aware of the fact that every Skinned song talks about a serial killer and retells those stories. And the thing about true crime is that violence can become idolized and glorified and inspire others to do the same. And the last thing we need is more perpetrators to be inspired and bring more violence into this world.
Yeah, or even worse, if someone interprets your words as something else. So there are also examples where people are 100% sure that the song, the artist, whatever, told them to kill someone. Of course, it's not good if you hear a song about a serial killer and you think, well, I want to do that too. That's not good at all. But for the artist, it must be even worse if the lyrics are interpreted in such a wrong way that people go out there and think, he's telling me, or she's telling me, or they are telling me to kill someone.
And even worse, use that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm. That's the dark side of it.
That is honestly the problem that I have with satire. And that may be a personal thing. I like to trust people and believe what they tell me, which might make me a little naive. But language is how I communicate. And so I want to believe what you tell me. So sometimes I'm not very good with sarcasm. That is what makes it sometimes difficult for me to differentiate and why I sometimes think disclaimers are important. If you're going to do satire, I'm all for it. But maybe tell me.
/ irony.
Holding a sign. This is the sarcasm sign. Mm. We are about to do satire. Please don't take it seriously. Okay, here's my performance. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I also wanted to ask you in this episode. There is a very well-known example in the metal scene called Cannibal Corpse. They are known for very explicit lyrics. There is no room for interpretation. But of course, they don't mean that you should go out there with a hammer and smash people's faces and stuff like that. How do you see that? Do you like Cannibal Corpse? Do you listen to them? What do you think about their lyrics?
I have honestly never paid attention because it's not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just from the name, I think I'm pretty safe to assume that they don't want us to be cannibals.
There is a lot of violence in their lyrics, but...
But they're vegans. No. Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised. But they're told to be very nice people, and the lyrics are so over the top for me that I'm beyond having a problem with that. For me, it's so clear that they don't mean what they say. They just say stupid things. Maybe they just found a diary of some of their band members and they have written this lyrics in their puberty. That's what it sounds like, because it's so exaggerated that you just know they don't mean it. And you should not go out there and follow their example.
Right.
That's also the case with a lot of other bands that have a lot of violence in their lyrics. So explicitly, even though there is no room for interpretation, the exaggeration is so extreme that it automatically has the disclaimer without having a real disclaimer for me.
Maybe that's just your intuition of reading their disclaimer.
When I watch splatter movies, I don't like horror movies, but splatter movies are so extreme, so over the top that I think it's funny.
Yeah. I've heard that. That's a good analogy. It's more the gore that makes it easier for you to digest. I get it. I didn't used to watch a lot of horror, and I have been watching horror movies just for maybe 2 years now regularly so that I actually get into them, because I would like to get into them. And I think the scariest movies for me are the ones that have such a solid story or such a solid lore that it makes you think it could actually be true.
Yeah.
And so that gives me nightmares. So I get what you mean. When it's only gore, I couldn't do it because I would puke. I feel it. It's very physical. It's a terrible reaction for me. So I don't really like that. But yeah, it's different if you just see blood and gore and not a lot of a story telling you to be afraid. It's a different thing.
People are often surprised when I tell them that I don't have a problem with splatter or explicit violence of that kind in movies. Maybe also because I don't like psychological violence in movies. That's something that I really don't want to watch. Mm-hmm. When you have this tension all the time, that's something I really don't like. Then okay. I totally prefer the splatter movie where several people are just killed with a chainsaw or whatever.
Oh my, no. Wow. That actually connects to my next thought, the performance. It's not always only about the violence in the lyrics of the bands. It's also about the performance and everything around them. I'm thinking of What Dying and other bands that used animal blood on stage as part of their theatrics and their performance, or the mythical stories of the church burnings in Scandinavia. That is also violence.
Yeah.
It might be a little more symbolic in terms of, I mean, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, because I still have to watch those documentaries, but if no one gets killed, but a church gets burnt down, to me, that still counts as violence.
Also, if you destroy a car, it's violence.
People's property. That's a different kind of violence. But everything that surrounds the music, the performance, has an impact not only on your audience, but also on the brand, on the image that you are projecting outwards, the kind of people that you want to attract, the kind of people that you want to be your fans. That's the thing. It is a whole construct, a whole concept. And when violence is involved, it can be very off-putting as well.
Yeah, as I said earlier, for some people like me, it's a kind of catharsis, and it can be something else for others, something that is not good for themselves or people around them. I think that sums it up.
Yeah, I think it's important to, if necessary, keep the violence away from people.
Of course.
if you feel the need to exert violence, how about you go to therapy first?
Maybe. And if nothing helps, meet other people who are like you in a place where there is nobody else, then feel free to do whatever you want, as long as everybody is fine with that.
Yeah, consenting adults, maybe. Join the fight club. Yeah. Yes. But we never talk about fight club. Oh, what? My God.
But therapy should be the first thing you consider if you can't get the desire to punch people out of your head.
Yeah. And there we go. Sexism. I already mentioned enemy number one, capitalism. This was not going to be a complete episode if I didn't mention sexism. Come on. So, yeah. Honestly, though, a lot of the violence out there comes from toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Which comes from sexism, from the patriarchy.
Right.
If you have the need to punch someone in the face or to punch a wall, take two deep breaths, go to therapy, analyze yourself, do the work, do the emotional work. I swear it pays off.
And find a sport that exhausts you in a physical way, because sometimes you just have too much energy and don't know where to go with it. Yeah. Martial arts is not the right thing for you. You should go
running.
Run a marathon or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Running, though. I've been running for a few months now. Twice a week. It's good. Let's say goodbye for now. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening so far. You can follow the Bleeding Metal Podcast on Spotify and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite app.
You can also find us on Instagram at Bleeding Metal Pod.
You can also follow me at KikiGGE87.
And you can find me at Power_Pia.
We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.